Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so thankful for what you have done. Lord, you are in control of everything. Nothing happens outside of your sight. And Lord, we can depend on you and your good works, Lord. You allow things to happen that we don't fully understand. But Lord, in the end, we will have it. You will let us know. And we thank you so much for what you have done. We thank you so much for the gift of little ones, for the infants, for the children. Lord, we thank you so much that you do care for them and you care for us. And Lord, I pray for those that are sick lately. We have those that are battling with cancer and those that are taking chemotherapy and those that are making decisions. Lord, I pray that you guide the doctors and the nurses and the medication. And I pray that you guide the decisions of those that are deciding whether to take chemo or not. Lord, I thank you so much that you do hear our prayers. And we thank you so much that we can gather together and worship you through song and message and fellowship. I ask that the service be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today was a great new experience, a baby dedication. It was always so precious to have. I love hearing kids in church. They get me distracted sometimes, but that's okay. I like that. We just had a couple dedicate their children to the Lord. And they were saying that they are going to raise their children in the Lord. And we as a church should be alongside them as they do this. We need to help them and to hold them accountable as they strive to serve the Lord. We need each other. We need to be there for each other. The same way Paul had friends in Christ as well. Today we're going to look at Paul's friends and how they were helpers to one another. So open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 18. And yes, we're going to get through all these verses today. I know it's a shock. Colossians chapter 4, 7 through 18. It says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision, along with my fellow workers, for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brother at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read to the church in the Laodiceans, and see to it that you also have read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now in this portion of Scripture, Paul has two sets of friends for two purposes. The first group consists of Tychicus and Onesimus, these $10 words. These are two people whom Paul sent to the church in Colossae from Rome. Their purpose is to send news to the people about Paul and those with him to be an encouragement to the people. Tychicus is a faithful minister and servant of the Lord. Onesimus is also a faithful brother in Christ and is to accompany one another on the journey. Now, we got to think back to this time frame. Paul was in Rome. He was in prison. And how do we send letters? Well, they had to take them. You couldn't fax them. You couldn't email them. You couldn't send them a text message. You couldn't even put it through snail mail. Use the United States Postal Service. Letters had to be delivered by hand, and it was a unique way they did it. And when you think about it, they were in what we call Italy, and they had to travel over to Turkey to get this letter to these people. And the really neat thing is, Paul never even went to this church. Paul was never there prior to this. But yet he's taking his time to write to them. So Paul sends these two guys to the people in Colossae to give a report on how he's doing and also to encourage them as well. And the next group of people Paul talks about are those that were with him or were recently with him. This group of men sends their greetings to let the Colossians know that others are praying for them. Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus send their greetings in the letter, and they have been a comfort to Paul for some time. That's just encouraging in itself, is to get a letter from a known group of guys who are doing ministry in the Lord. That's encouragement. They send their greetings. It's personalized. The next Paul talks about is Epaphras. And Paul actually spends a little bit more detail about this person. This guy, most scholars believe that he was the church planter in this area. He was the start of that church in this area. And probably the current pastor as well. Anyways, what was going on in the area, as we discussed in chapter 2, about the heresy that was going on with around the Colossian church. There was philosophy and just bad teachings, traditions held over scripture. And so this guy, he had to go to Paul and say, "Hey, Paul, we got this going on. How do we deal with this?" And another interesting thing is he was praying for them. It says, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. He was praying that they would stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. This is the heart of a pastor. A pastor prays for the people. He's constantly wanting them to grow. He's constantly wanting them to see God work in their lives. He wants the church to grow spiritually. He wants them to know more of God's will, to keep growing in God. Numbers are great, but it's a spiritual growth in people's lives that really take effect. Because when a church comes together and the church grows in Christ and they put focus on Him and off of each other, God will do great, amazing things. And they needed to be mature in their faith and stand assured in the will of God. Because there was heresy coming in, they need to be united. They need to stand firm in their faith. That was his prayer. And this guy was praying for the church, continually praying, struggling in his prayers. It's the same where we get our word agonize, the struggle. That's what he was doing in his prayers, because he wanted to see growth in the church. He wanted to see them grow spiritually, grow closer to God. He was diligent in his prayer life and for the people. It also said that he worked hard for the people in the surrounding towns, such as Laodicea and Hierapolis. Finally, Paul mentions that Luke and Demas send their greetings as well. More guys sending greetings. More support from outside coming in. Now Paul finishes giving his final instructions. He tells the people, to greet the brothers in Laodicea and in Nympha. He tells them to have his letter read to the church and the Laodiceans, and for the Colossian church to read that letter as well. After that, Paul reminds Archippus to fulfill the ministry that God has called him to do. And that in itself, that one little phrase in a sermon all itself, I liked it. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I think we should all look at that. We are all called to ministry. We all have certain jobs to do. We all have a ministry. Some, their ministry is seen as a pastor. Pastors are seen. Teachers are seen. They're all seen. What about those guys behind the scenes? What is those running the sound and the PowerPoint? That's a ministry. Those cleaning, those doing the yard work, that's a ministry. Those that have this desire to serve God and fulfill what God has put in their lives. We all have different ministries. We all have different jobs to do. And we need to fulfill that. As Paul reminds Archippus to fulfill that ministry. We all have a ministry to fulfill. We all need to be doing something. God has called us. Paul reminds them that he wrote the letter to reaffirm them and to remember his chains, his imprisonment. I don't think that Paul was saying, remember me because I'm in prison. No, I think Paul is saying, remember that I am in prison for the gospel message. Remember that it is Christ that I preach, Christ that I proclaim. That's why I am in prison. I proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only one that saves. That's why he's in prison, because he went against Rome. And he caused division because he was teaching truth and not traditions according to man, not a legalistic religion. He was saying faith in Jesus Christ. Paul surrounded himself with a number of good friends. All these friends had a purpose in ministry. Some were there for Paul by his side while others were doing the work that Paul could not do because he was in custody. We as a church have a purpose and gifts that God has given us. We are to be working together in unity to bring glory to God and not to ourselves. What is our focus on? Is our focus on the ministry? Or is our focus on elevating ourselves? Also, we need to check our hearts. Are we doing ministry to elevate ourselves? Are we doing ministry to give ourselves a pat on the back? Are we doing ministry to score points with God? Or are we participating in ministry to the jobs that God has called us to? When you know what your job is in ministry, whatever that is, you are going to do it with a heart that is indescribable. You're going to do it because you want to. Sometimes you do it because, well, God has called you to do it. When you are working, doing the things that God has designed for you to do, it's going to bring a joy about in your heart. You are going to know it. You are going to love it. You're going to do it because you want to. There are going to be certain times when you do things because you have to. There are those as well. But it's self-fulfilling when you're working for him and knowing that you are in his will doing what he wants you to do. And of course, God tells us each to do different things. We all have different jobs. Why? So we can reach people in different ways, so we can proclaim Jesus Christ to the world using the gifts that God has given us. There are some people that I can't reach. There are some people that won't give me the time of day. But then other people can approach those people. Some people won't talk to me because, you know, I'm a pastor. I don't want to talk to him. He's religious. But I remember working with other guys, and these other guys would reach other guys in their workplace. That's how it works. We get our training, and then we get it while we're in church, and then we take it out there and we live it. We don't just come in here to absorb it, but we live it. We help, we encourage. And we were to be growing in God, growing in His Word. Today, we had a dedication. A couple was dedicated to raising their children in the ways of the Lord. And we, as a congregation, are to be here supporting them, loving on them, being there for them, helping them, and of course, holding them accountable. Because they said they're going to raise their children in the ways of the Lord. That doesn't mean micromanage them. We're not going to micromanage. But we're going to go along beside you. And if you have problems or struggles, you come to somebody that you trust and go to them. That's the same for everybody. If we struggle, we got to have that one person we can go to, that fellow Christian we can go to and talk to them. And when they come to us, we need to be mature. We need to encourage them. And that's kind of what I see in this. Paul had this group of men, this group of guys that were encouragers, that were praying for people, that were there, that were willing to do things, that were willing to travel a pretty good distance to go see a church. Encouraging. We need to focus on the things of God by helping others. Looking at ministry and love as a verb. We need to be doing things for others. Through our actions and prayers, we can show Christ to others more clearly. Christ also showed His love to us and set an example on how we are to live with one another in love. He also showed us how to love unconditionally. Christ was willing to die for the people, even though some do not acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. He willingly took the cross for those who reject Him. He took the cross for those that call on Him as Savior as well. Christ loves us even when one does not love Him. That is unconditional love. While they're still on earth, Christ loves them. But if they leave this earth without Christ as their Savior, then they are cast outside of His sight. He willingly took the cross for mankind. Now, today is our communion Sunday. And before we approach communion, we need to remember what Christ has done for us. We need to remember the pain that He endured so salvation could be offered to us. And before we partake of the elements, now there is a requirement to partake of the elements, and that is you need to be a believer in Jesus Christ. There's no paperwork. It's a relationship between you and God. That's the only requirement, is to have Christ in your life. Also, this is also a great time we take to confess any sin in our life, to draw that relationship closer to God. Those sins that hinder that relationship, it's always good to go back and confess any unconfessed sins we have. Any sins we have in our life, we're going to take a few minutes of silent prayer to pray and make sure we have a right relationship with God before we partake. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and acknowledge You as Lord and Savior. Lord, it is Your works that saved. And we come before You with a humble heart, knowing that we could never do it on our own. It was You. You were perfect, and yet You were the one that was sacrificed. And Lord, we thank You so much through Your works, through Your death and resurrection, that we can have salvation. Today we come by and we remember that. Remember, it was You that was beat. It was You whose blood spilt. And with that, Lord, we have salvation offered to us. I thank You so much that You willingly took the cross, that You desire a relationship with us, and through Your works is how we have that relationship. I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I leave you with Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You are dismissed.